Welcome, dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... Canada. That's right, we're wrapping up Wiki World Warriors with yet another Canadian. Apparently I have a lot of listeners in Canada, so that's cool. For our purposes today, it has the slight drawback that we've already thoroughly talked about Canada as a street fighting location. Canada is just like the United States, except further north as far as the writers of the Street Fighter core book are concerned, and there's no need to rehash that here. You can go back and listen to the episodes about Jacques Moose and Marie Roy if you want to hear me talk a little more about Canada as a street fighting location. On the upside, we have a very distinct and very Canadian character to wrap up the series. So let's jump right into the prompt I got. I say prompt, the full-fledged character that I got from listener Jamie McIsaac, and see who our final Canadian World Warrior is. Quote, Deline Sion, the French Siren. Blood type, High C. Appearance, dedicated to turning every part of her body into a weapon, Deline is painfully, some might even say skeletally thin, so that she presents a smaller target for grapple fighters, and so every strike from her comes back with the sharpest of bones. Her cheekbones alone are registered as lethal weapons in two provinces. Fighting style. Deline has mastered the slippery, elusive art of savate. However, in her travels across the length and breadth of French-speaking Canada, she has bolstered her beautiful, graceful teachings with the rough-and-tumble fighting styles of the Acadians, which, not to get too regional here, are the other main French-speaking people in Canada who live in an even sillier province and who are, if anything, even more backwoodsy and boomhowery than the Québécois. Basically, it's savate, but with headbutts and lots of biting. So, just as Québécois is to Parisian French as Boomhauer is to Patrick Stewart, so Deline's Acadian savate is to the French art of foot fighting as hockey fights are to ballroom dancing. The beautiful, the graceful, Deline. So that's plenty of concept to make a street fighter, but hold on, we got background too. Quote, Deline started fighting at birth. As one of 38 children, she had to battle her siblings just for the scraps of baguettes and poutine that would fall from the table to the floor. Her ferocity and her tenacity served her well until she took her first steps into the dark, cannibalistic, seedy underbelly of the French-Canadian music scene. Competition for limited airtime was fierce, and the battles could turn bloody. That was when she realized that her natural-born gifts would not be enough, and she found a combination manager-slash-sensei-slash-ancient savate master. She later married that guy, but the whole thing in real life was kind of gross and felt more than a little exploitative, so I'm going to leave it alone. Good idea, me too. Quote, traveling from Quebec to the next province over, where the Acadians were, she sharpened her skills, renewed her vigor, and so by the time she started fighting in the streets on an international level, it didn't seem that different. After all, the lineup at every French music festival was decided by a battle royale-style fight to the death. Fun fact, these are the original inspiration for Hunger Games, it even sounds better in Franglais, the Fame Games, because the artists are literally starving and battling for just enough spare change to buy food. But when she grew too big for only French radio, she made a dark, terrible bargain with the international shadow crime organization Shadaloo. Because only with the help of an international crime syndicate could a French-speaking musical artist ever get airplay outside of Quebec. But now she owes them big. And her life is an endless balancing act against her pursuit of money and fame, and her obligations to Shadaloo. But not her roots. Her desire to keep up with her roots went down with the Titanic. Huge thanks to Jamie for this character, and fantastic bookends for the series. We started off with Bull Onion, a ripoff of an existing character, phonetically swapped in his name to make him trademarkable and legally distinct. And now here at the end, we're wrapping up with Deline Sion. It's all very symmetrical, and I am eager to create this character, because while there's plenty of goofiness in Deline Sion to go around, the mechanical goofiness of Savate is really something to behold. First of all, our concept. I think French-Canadian diva will do it. Her style is Savate, and her name is Deline Sion. Obviously, physical attributes will be primary. This would be another opportunity to do a very high dex character, like a dex 5. And in fact, I think I'm going to go for it. Even though we just did Francisco, his dex went all the way up to 6, for reasons we needn't talk about. I'm not proud of what I did last episode. Now you know what it's like to be my storyteller. I'm sorry, it's just who I am. Sometimes there aren't enough points and you got to make it work. But anyway, because he had 6 and he was extremely high dex, I think having Delene be 5 dex and be a little more moderate, combined with her quite different fighting style, I think that's acceptable. So we're going to do dex 5, and then we're going to do stamina 3 and strength 2. So she's a little weak on damage, but very fast and reasonably tough. She may be skeletal, but those bones don't break. Social has to come secondary. We're going to do charisma 3, manipulation 2, appearance 3. And then for mental, perception, intelligence, wits, we're going to do 2 dots, which is average across the board. What's exceptional about this character, I think appropriately, is not so much what she's working with on a basic level, but what she's done with it and how hard she's worked and how scrappy she is. Talents are going to be primary for Delene. We're going to give her alertness 1. Got to keep your wits about you in these competitive environments she often finds herself in. Intimidation 3. She is a diva after all. Insight 1 for keeping an eye on people's motives and feelings around her. Streetwise 2 and Subterfuge 2 to connect to her combination of humble beginnings and success in the music business. She definitely has a front that she keeps up. She's pretty good at seeing through deception as well. She knows how to have a high-powered lunch with an executive, but she also knows how things are done in the backwoods, even if she prefers to keep her distance from her roots. Secondary, we've got skills. She's got 2 dots in drive. She does know how to drive a stick, given where she's lived and what she's had to do, although it's been a while since she's driven herself anywhere. She's got leadership 3. She does kind of run her own little organization. She's in charge of people. Security 1, mainly just familiarity with her own security system. And survival 1, because she's got some backwoods living in her background. Then just a smattering of more or less random knowledges. Arena 1, computer 1, medicine 1, and style lore 1. She's done a little to educate herself about street fighting and the circuit. She may know some venues from her singing career, so that accounts for the dot of arena. A little bit of medicine, because she's very interested in like diet and exercise. Not huge on knowledges. Now we come to backgrounds. First of all, she's very famous. I'm going to give her fame 4. I'm going to have this be early in her career, where she's made a big splash, but she doesn't have like a Lifetime Vegas show yet. She's still struggling. I think that's when this character is at her scrappiest and most interesting as a street fighter. Likewise, resources of 4. I'm going to go a little cheap on manager. Have the manager be only 2, I think just a competent manager. Maybe more because he's skimming off the top than because he's actually incompetent. But he's also her husband and her sensei. And as a sensei, I think he's pretty good. Got to go with at least 3 dots there. So that's 8 freebie points already accounted for with backgrounds. So we may have a little bit of difficulty affording all the fighting techniques we want. 4 techniques. Here's the thing about Savate. Savate is, of course, a real-life martial arts style. It's best known for its kicks, and it takes one to know one. I think that the person who wrote this Savate style was probably leaning pretty heavily on an encyclopedia as opposed to any actual pre-existing knowledge of Savate, because little details about the style really dominate the write-up. For example, quote, "The toe, rather than the heel or the ball of the foot, is used to inflict damage. For this reason, the fighter wears soft shoes with reinforced toes. Savate kicks are usually probing thrusts with the toes or shins, attacks designed to slip between the opponent's blocking hands." Many of the styles outside the core book have come in for the same kind of criticism in the Street Fighter line, which is that there are lots of different martial arts with a variety of techniques. There's a lot of cross-pollination, you know, a lot of people using working techniques from other styles. But especially outside the core book, this game really likes to seize on a detail and pigeonhole a martial art. Narrow it, but also make it, you know, the only martial art that can do some special thing. Or at least the only one that can do it so effectively. So, for example, in Contenders, you get like wrestling and Pancration, which are a lot better at grappling, and especially like ground fighting and things like that, than they ought to be compared to other martial arts, which should be perfectly capable of that, right? But I think the writer is just focused on like, okay, wrestling. This is the art that does ground fighting. That is their thing. Similarly, with jiu-jitsu, all other characters have to pay to learn throws, right? If you're in karate, aikido, if you're a trained special forces operative, sumotori, for all of them, throwing is optional. You can just skip that day, I guess, of class and never learn how to throw somebody. Jiu-jitsu alone is the martial art that always, always, always teaches throwing, just for some reason. And similarly here, if you're a street fighter and you know how to block, you can block a 100-hand slap, you can block a fireball, you can block a chainsaw, you can block a club, a stick, or a sledgehammer, you can block a flying green man tucked into the fetal position, or a sumo wrestler leaping out of a tree onto your head butt first, but you just can't figure out how to block the way these motherfuckers kick in Savate. They use their toes. It's like they're not even human. It's like they're from another place. Kicking with your toe? Who's ever heard of that? Against this unstoppable technique of using the front of your foot when you kick someone, like, no can defense. You've got everybody's number when you got into the world with this kicking technique. Needless to say, you get a bunch of kick maneuvers. although maybe not as many as you would expect, since the author, for whatever reason, felt the need to stick more or less to realistic kicks. You actually get more punches than kicks. You get some blocks, you get an evasion technique, and then you get one focus maneuver, tough skin. Because I guess it would be unrealistic for Savate practitioners to do a flip when they kick. That's foolish, that's video game stuff. But it's okay for them to focus their chi to harden their skin to the strength of steel. You might think with more punches than kicks on the menu, I might want to just go for punches here. Because for Deline Seyon, like, I'm not overly invested in her kicking ability. But when you're doing Savate, you really want to use kicks. And here's why. This is truly the goofy character generation option of this episode. Quote, while kicking, the fighter leans back much farther than other styles allow or expect. This gives the fighter an additional +1 to his soak roll, provided the fighter is struck by an opponent who uses her superior speed advantage to interrupt a Savate kick attack. Any other move that is interrupted will not give this soak bonus, nor will aerial maneuvers, jumps, or blocks. This soak modifier also does not apply to any type of leg sweeps or similar crouching maneuvers. In fact, a Savate fighter takes a -1 soak penalty when interrupted by a sweeping maneuver. So first of all, throw out everything I've said up to this point about the elegance and beauty of the Street Fighter combat system. When you're playing a Savate character, you now got to keep track of, like, all right, if I'm interrupted while I'm kicking, then I'm +1 to soak. But if I'm interrupted while I'm doing an aerial kick, then I don't get the bonus to soak. If I'm interrupted while I'm doing a crouching kick or a sweeping kick, I don't get the bonus to soak. And if I'm interrupted while kicking by a crouching or sweeping maneuver, then I'm -1 to soak because I lean back when I fight, which apparently, again, is like the freakiest thing anybody's ever seen. No need for special rules for the fighting styles of cyborg scorpion warriors and mutant hippopotamuses. But if you lean back when you kick, we got to engage the leaning subsystem for the sake of realism, you understand. That's not even the best part, because Savate still wasn't special enough. It still wasn't the eternal queen of weird kicks yet. So we had to add one more detail. Quote, when kicking, a Savate Street Fighter gains a +1 damage modifier. This simulates the hardened toe cap of the Savate footwear and the fact that most Savate kicks are thrusting kicks designed to strike a particular point on the body, rather than sweeping blows to an entire limb. Other fighters have difficulty blocking Savate kicks because the kicks are so different from the methods they are trained to block. I first of all call bullshit on this because you may recall that there is a Street Fighter maneuver in the core book called Great Wall of China where you kick so fast that you fill 3 entire hexes on the battle map with a solid wall of your legs, and there are no special rules for blocking that, so you can fuck right off with your fancy unblockable toe kick. Secondly, special shoes, special Savate shoes. Hold on, I mean, let's hear them out. Quote, this simulates the hardened toe cap of the Savate footwear. How hard are we talking about here? Is this like a diamond drill tip on your foot? Are we talking about some kind of white dwarf material? Is this some kind of exotic physics-defying material? Because if not, I submit to you that this same bonus of +1 damage should perhaps be applied to Street Fighters who have actual goddamn metal feet. In this corner, we have a battle cyborg made of head-to-toe titanium, and in this corner, we have a willowy Frenchman whose soft-soled shoes have hardened toes. And the second guy gets a bonus to his kicks? What I want to know is, why after the match, where he undoubtedly is soundly beaten, why doesn't the cyborg go to Mr. Savate, Mr. Willowy Frenchman, and say, hey, listen, great match, good game, buddy. Love to hear if you got any tips for me, and also, where can I buy me a pair of those? Obviously, I need to go get some extra large, soft sole, hard toe shoes to put on my goddamn metal claw feet so that I can kick better. This seems like it's in everyone's interest. Shoemakers want to sell shoes. Cyborgs want to buy shoes. Why can't we make this work? Obviously, it's because of our dubious friend, the willowy Frenchman. He knows that Savate only gets realistic kick maneuvers, and therefore would otherwise suck, and therefore needs to be balanced by privileged access to top-secret kicking shoes that put them on a level with other better martial arts. That plus the fact that they lean way back when they kick, like they're the goddamn Young Bucks. Anyway, Savate's kind of infuriating, and therefore a great match for Deline Seyon, who should, for sure, have high heel Savate shoes, and should therefore have a good kick technique. Yes, we are still doing techniques. We are still assigning dots to kick, punch, etc. I know, I completely forgot what I was doing and where I am. I don't blame you if you did too. We want kick 3. Figuring out anything beyond like good at kicks for this character is really hard because Savate is just all fucked up. For all the effort that went into making sure that they had the fanciest fucking shoes in all the land, the actual write-up for what moves you can do with Savate is all messed up. Like, they get tough skin, as I mentioned, right? A focus ability that toughens your skin, gives you a bonus to soak, which in the core book, only Sumotori get tough skin. They get it for 2 points. Anybody else has to pay 4 points to get it. Savat lists it, but then the price listed is 4 points, which is the same price as everybody gets it for. So it's not really a Savat move, is it? Then there's this whole fucking mess. There's a move called Esquives. I'm guessing at pronunciation here. Apparently this is a French word. I'm just pronouncing it the way that it looks, although I know the one unbreakable rule of French pronunciation is that no word is pronounced the way it looks. Esquives is like a dodge that you do. You just interrupt someone's move to move out of the way. It's not clear to me this is different from just regular moving. I'm not sure if the mechanics actually are different in a way I'm not seeing, or whether maybe the author didn't understand how the rules are supposed to work. Esquives is a Savat exclusive maneuver, because once again, getting out of the way, what's that? We've never heard of that in the rest of the world. Someone's trying to hit you and you get out of the way? What is this French sorcery? Now, what's weird about Esquives, though, is that it branches into a much better move called Displacement, which is listed under Savat as a block move, but is actually an athletics move, according to the special maneuver section. Displacement is a move where, rather than just moving out of the way of somebody who's trying to hurt you, you duck out of the way, then you come back with a punch, right? Much more effective. Displacement is available to some other styles, Spanish ninjutsu, wushu, supposedly, but to take it, you have to take Esquives, and you can only take Esquives if you study Savat. So it's just a big fucking mess, and I have to say, a move like this with dodgy rules, listed in the wrong place in the book, you're allowed to take it, but you have to have a prerequisite that you're not allowed to take. After being away from Palladium for a while, it just feels nice. It feels like coming home. But that doesn't mean I necessarily want to take these moves, Esquives and Displacement, because I have a duty to carry out for Jamie, my contributor for this episode, who specified that this is not just Savat, but Akkadian Savat, which includes, I remind you, headbutts and biting. Headbutts and biting aren't Savat moves, but they're in this game and Savat fighters can take them. So I feel obligated to do as I've been instructed and take those moves. To do that, I have to take at least one dot of punch, and I have to take at least two dots of grab. I also know that I want at least a dot of block. At this point, it's clear to me that Displacement is not immediately in the cards for Daylene. I would need block 2 and athletics 2, which is more dots than I have to go around. But looking at the possibilities for later with Esquives, Displacement, slide kick, a lot of stuff that Daylene isn't going to have yet, a lot of it is athletics dependent, so I do want at least one dot of athletics. No focus, naturally. That's not really what Savat is about, and it's not what Daylene is about. Focus is about cultivating your soul, and Daylene doesn't want to cultivate her soul. She wants to go to Las Vegas. So with techniques settled, now it's time to move on to special maneuvers. I am going to take the headbutt and the headbite. Those cost me 2 and 3 points respectively, which leaves me only 2 points left to spend on special maneuvers. And I really feel like I should be giving Daylene some kind of, you know, fancy and elegant kicks here, but she's already got her basic kicks, which can be as pretty as you please. This is Savat after all, so, you know, she can do standing splits and pirouettes and whatever the hell it is that makes Savat so very different and special from all other martial arts known to man. I don't really need any special maneuver kicks. What I need is a way for Daylene to capitalize on these two moves, the headbutt and the headbite, that I've sunk so many points into. And I think the best way to do that is actually to give her a combo, a headbite-to-headbite combo, to which I can add Dizzy with her 7 remaining freebie points. I feel a bit like Daylene's manager here, because I'm going over the numbers, right? I'm watching the tape. Like, her kicks are good. Her kick technique is her best technique, but her best attribute is speed, and kicks are slow. So she's kind of like canceling out trying to use kicks very effectively at this level. Like, as a world warrior, sure, she can have beautiful flippy kicks. I guess it's Savat, so they won't be beautiful or flippy. They'll be boring, expensive kicks, in keeping with her general boring and expensive aesthetic. As her career as a singer continues to ascend, dull opulence will be her watchword. But for now, she's still young, she's still scrappy, she's still hungry. Hungry enough, in fact, to take a bite right out of your fucking head. That's her best move. It's her fastest move. It's a +1 to speed. She's already got dex 5. So she's got a speed of 6 on this quite good grappling maneuver with the headbite. It's faster than her headbutt. It does just as much damage. She's only got athletics 1, so she actually doesn't have any moves that go any further than the headbite. You know, if I'd been able to afford to give her a slide kick or something like that, that can move further across the arena, then maybe I would have included that somehow. But no, she's a short range, kind of a stand and fight fighter. The most she can do is kind of lunge ahead 1 hex and hit you with a kick or a punch, or a vicious headbite. So here's what I think. Delene really wants to be a graceful and elegant Savate fighter. But because of the people she learned from, the place she comes from, and her own natural gifts, she usually resorts to biting. And when she does, that is when she is at her most dangerous. A headbite-to-headbite combo means that she can step up to somebody with that fancy Savate footwork, lean back, faking them out like there's a fancy kick coming, but then whip her whole upper body forward and just bite them right in the face. It's quick, it's very damaging, it's a sustained hold, so if they don't beat her on a strength versus strength check, they actually lose their next turn as she just continues to gnaw on their cheeks and their ears. If they do beat her on a strength roll, then the next turn goes normally, but because it's a combo, she can still probably beat them on speed. Even if they can tear themselves away, her little beaver-like teeth can probably land another telling bite before they can even react. And the damage of those two bites will stack to see if they're dizzied. And if they are dizzied, then I think is when she's going to go in for like the big roundhouse kick. So at least in the record books, this will go down as a victory for the elegant fighting art of Savate, and not for Delene Seon's horrible little teeth. But we know the truth. For reasons that I think are now apparent, I'm going to put all three renowned dots in glory, and that's all my freebie points accounted for. So that's the mechanics sorted. All that's left is to take care of the details about Delene, who, for obvious reasons, sort of suggests a lot of obvious options for appearance and things of that nature. For appearance, I think we are going to go with very thin French-Canadian chanteuse. I want the opulence at a 7, and I want the camp at like a 4. High heels for sure. Are they sparkly high heels? You bet they are. But it's basically a real dress, not like a drag dress. But then again, she does roundhouse kicks in it. So the camp level is hard to place. For equipment, the aforementioned high heel shoes are in fact fancy top secret formula Savate shoes with the hardened toe. So those are her prized possessions. For sure she has a backup pair. In fact, I think she probably travels with quite a wardrobe. She's media conscious. She's famous enough that she needs to stay away from paparazzi, things like that. So she's going to have like a vehicle with tinted windows, all the usual rich people stuff. But as far as specific equipment, I think it's mainly the shoes. When it comes to quirks, I'm feeling a little tapped out on creativity at this point. So I'm just going to go to the Wikipedia page of a real life French-Canadian singer chosen at random, basically. No need to name that person here. Since their identity isn't relevant to our discussion, and we'll see if she's got any quirks that I can use. Huh, it says here about this randomly selected French-Canadian songstress that she has a line of perfumes. So maybe that's a business that Delene is trying to get into, and because she's into Savate and her gimmick is kicking, I think the perfume is called Sole, S-O-L-E, with some kind of weird typographical element. Maybe it's got a little, circumflex or like an accent needlessly over the O, something like that, to make it trademarkable and make it look more elegant. A nice needless accent mark seems like the kind of thing you would think was real classy if you were the kind of person who dresses in a sparkly gown but also bites people on the head. And the bottles have like one of her high heels in profile etched on the glass. Like that's the brand. She's trying to work Savate into the overall image. So yeah, she carries around some of this perfume and she promotes it, wears it to her events, you know. And the only thing left now is her signature, her victory pose. And I think what she does is, as soon as she wins and the bell rings or whatever, she begins to sing one of her signature hits. Big dramatic arm gestures as she sings. She really takes that spotlight moment and runs with it. She strides forward and then she does a big finish, hits her big note with one foot on her fallen opponent, throwing her arms back in the Titanic pose. So that's Delene. So all that remains now is for me to get a grade from Jamie.
Welcome, dumb dumbheads, to MDC, the Meta Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Chris Newton's Wiki World Warrior miniseries, episode 12, to determine the grade of that page. Every episode is one page. There is only one episode. It will be short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the Wiki World Warriors miniseries, episode 12, Delene Seon, from August 2019. Today, we're discussing page 1 of 1 of episode 12, and we're talking about the Savate Siren from Canada, Delene Seon. On a personal note, I'm very pleased that my submission is the final episode, and that my submission accessed a series of mechanics so insanely incompetent that they merited comparison to the work of the great Lord Simbeta himself. May his douchebaggery never cease. But we're not here to talk about me. And we're not here to talk about the Kev, we're here to talk about Delene Seon, and whether or not Chris managed to pick up what I was laying down and capture the true Canadian essence of this true Canadian diva. First off, attributes. I admit that I had anticipated Delene's social being primary and her physical secondary, knowing as I do that, even though a long string of dots has a lot of narrative weight, mechanically there's not a ton of difference between a 2 and a 3, or between a 4 and a 5. So I thought she would get along great with, say, 4 dex and 2 strength and stamina, leaving room for a metric fuckton, that's a Canadian term, of charisma and manipulation. But, as Chris has said many times, White Wolf or not, this is a fighting game, and not some frustrated drama major's fantasy goth circle jerk, so maybe his way is better. Next, abilities and backgrounds, great, 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 all the way down, so that's all good, and that's all fine, but that's the warm-up, right? The real meat here is techniques and special maneuvers, and this is where the good stuff is. Watching Chris wend his careful way through the labyrinthian mirror house of horrors that is Savat, and also find room for both headbutting and biting, and we get a rant about cyborg shoes, and he also made an organic part of Delene's character? Amazing. I give this whole debacle 5 razor-sharp cheekbones out of 5, and Chris, I think you might actually be able to apply for Canadian citizenship now. Enjoy the poutine and the healthcare. So I was going to satirize the outro too, but this is already so self-indulgent it probably qualifies as a frustrated English major's fantasy circle jerk, so I'll end it here. Oh, also, it's pronounced Esqueeve.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I really appreciate it. I happily accept your grade, even though it's not really on the F to A scale. That's fine. I mean, you're the creative genius behind Meta Dumbcast, and your format is yours to do with as you will. I will say it does seem awfully similar to my format, except I can tell that you basically planned what you were going to say and therefore were able to edit your material in a reasonable length of time. So in that sense, you've missed the mark, but otherwise, a remarkably accurate simulation of the Mega Dumbcast experience. Thanks to everyone who has listened to this miniseries. We're not done with these characters yet, but Wiki World Warriors is ending for now. There's more coming down the pike, a little bit more Street Fighter material for sure, more with these characters almost certainly, and what form that will take and whether it'll be Patreon only or what, I really don't know yet. Things are in the works. Mainly, I'm just grateful to all of you for going along with Mega Dumbcast during this departure from Palladium material. I know that's what drew many of you here in the first place, and so it was heartening to see a positive reaction to talking about something else for a little while. But that diversion is now over, and I'm happy to report that while I've been busy talking about Street Fighters, the MDC Patreon at patreon.com/megadumbcast has funded. I am now tenuously able to begin Season 3. So you should expect Season 3 of Mega Dumbcast, a full daily page-by-page treatment of Beyond the Supernatural, to begin in, let's say, late September. If it's earlier than that, then it'll be a nice surprise, but late September for sure. The reason for the little hiatus is because I'll be recording episodes, developing a backlog, getting the format together, getting music, getting my templates all set up for, you know, fast workflow, all that boring stuff that goes into making a podcast. And I'm really excited to see you then. I think this next season of MDC is going to be interesting and different, and certainly is going to be a fun challenge. And it's just going to be fun to get back to talking about Palladium. The thing about Street Fighter, and I think my main complaint about the system, is that it's good. It stands up, which is really inconvenient for podcasting purposes. I had a lot of fun with this miniseries, but I wouldn't want to have to talk about Street Fighter every goddamn day, because a lot of the pages of it are good. And, you know, I can't be positive every day with my temperament. That's why I have a podcast. So Beyond the Supernatural will be a welcome change. One final thank you to all of my international contributors who've helped with this series, and I'll see you all for Season 3. I leave you now with the closer and also the Sumo Girls ending theme by Ryoma Maeda, a song that I have continually wanted to use in a podcast and never had a chance to. And by God, this is the end of my Street Fighter miniseries, and it's called Sumo Girls ending theme. So if not now, then when? Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Sawsquare Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.